Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians 10. I mean, what's the most important thing, event that's going to happen with us is going to be Jesus' return.
Yes.
Do all of you have that in your heart?
Yes.
That, oh, I can't wait for Jesus to come and stand before him face to face. Yeah?
Yes.
Do you believe that? So these kinds of messages that deal with the time period we're in, the coming of Christ, are messages about the kingdom, because the king is coming and setting up his kingdom. And we might feel like, well, that's a future event, and yet there's so much of that applies to today in a very, very practical sense, that it's something for us to realize, spirit, soul, and body, that we become more connected with the message of the kingdom. Isn't that what Jesus said? That when the gospel of the kingdom is spread throughout the world, the end is going to come, right? And so the message of the gospel of the kingdom is about the coming of the king. And for centuries, that has not been much of an emphasis in the church. Right? It's all on the very practical, day-by-day things, and we need those messages, and it's very important, and it's all mixed together with the timing that God wants to say certain things to the church. And I believe, from how the Lord's been speaking to my heart, that we need to be hearing things and cracking through some areas of our life so that when Jesus says, be ready, that we actually are. It's not just a mental concept where we throw everything off to the Lord and there's nothing that we have to do, when there really is. We're going to talk about, let's look at this one scripture first, and then I'll get into the specifics. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I'm just going to read one verse, and it's verse 11, and it says this. Now, all these things happened unto them, talking about the children of Israel, the Old Testament, everything that was written in the Old Testament. But all these things had happened to them for examples. They were written for our admonition. And what's the word admonition mean?
Warning.
Okay? They were written for our warning, to tell us something. Now I want to say that before I go any further, there's kind of a paradox here. Because when you hear the word warning, you go, oh no, another warning message. And yet, it's the very thing of hearing what Jesus is saying for right now and for us to grab a hold of what he's saying that is going to give us the peace, the rest, the encouragement, the strength to be able to move into things, because we know that Jesus tells us at the end of the age, everything that can be shaken is going to be
shaken.
There's, look at the world today. Everything that can be is being shaken in this world. All right. They were written for our admonition, for our warning, upon whom the ends of the age has come. There's a direct corollary here. It's put together, isn't it? You see what this is going to be about. Now I'm going to go back and talk about some things. I'm going to first bring us to Matthew and hear what Jesus has to say, because here we are at the end of the age, and I'll tell you what, we are people that are very much busy in this life, and it's very important for us that we don't just casually hear things that God wants to say to us. We want to really be sure that we're mixing what we're hearing with faith and asking God to change us where we need to be changed in attitude, in focus. Okay? So, I want you to go, let's see, what was that? Matthew 24. Because I want us to think about, you know, if Jesus tells us to be ready for things, what do we have to be ready for? Have you thought about that? What do I have to be ready for? Jesus tells us to be ready. Now, do you want to be disobedient to Jesus? Does anybody here not care? Or you're going to argue scripture with Jesus and say, well, I don't have anything to be ready for, Lord. You're going to come and everything's going to be fine. You're going to take me out of here before any bad things happen. So I don't really need to be ready for anything, even though you're telling us to be ready. That's because it's Jesus himself that's saying it, isn't it? And yet there's lots of people in the Christian church that don't think they have anything to be ready for. What do I have to be ready for? In fact, I had somebody, doesn't go here anymore, but I had somebody tell me, I don't need to be ready for anything. Jesus is coming and we're going to be raptured and everything's going to be fine. I don't have anything to be ready for. That's kind of surprising, isn't it? And what the enemy does too is, I'll be ready. I'll pray and I'll be ready. And it's only on a surface level when God wants to dig in and show us what is it exactly that we need to be ready for. And it's very clear in the scriptures the things that we need to be ready for. And I'm not going to be telling you what to do. I'm just going to say, what are the things that you and I need to be ready for? And then you search God, and find out the answers. But you know what happens a lot is you go, oh, I don't have the time for that. I don't have the time to know what God wants me to do. When you think about it, that's what you're saying. That's what I'm saying. I don't have time for this. What do you mean? You know, I got something else I got to do. I got to get into the Word and take more time to pray to God so that I'm going to be able to do the things I need to do to not be shaken when all these things are going to be shaking around me. That's kind of, you would think, well, that's kind of crazy to think like that. And yet, in a big way, that's what our minds do. We don't want to think about these things. We want to think of the smooth things. We want things to be right and we want everything to be happy. And the paradox is, talking about paradox. The paradox is that when you're ready, you're going to be happy. When you're prepared for something, there's greater peace. Isn't there? Wow, huh? So, are you there in Matthew? I'm on. Okay, Matthew 24. And verse 37. And here's Jesus talking about the end of the age, about his coming. This is a kingdom message, isn't it? Because it's about the king coming to set up his kingdom. And he says this in verse 37. But as it was in the days of Noah, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Yeah, that's what it says, right? So just like Noah, just like it was in the days of Noah. And then he describes some things, but we're going to jump back into Genesis, and I want you to see some things about Genesis too. It says in verse 38, for as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And they didn't know until the flood came and took them all away. So also shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Now this kind of connects with last week, you know, when we're talking about snares and getting out of the snares, not being caught unaware, not getting trapped in our sensual attitudes and the way we think and things that we need to let go of, that we're going to be able to get out beyond that, not walk that life path, but to prayerfully find the ways that we need to walk so that we're walking rightly before the Lord. And that we're careful about it. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yes.
We're not casual about it. We're careful about it. So, and you notice that the thing about this is that people didn't know anything was happening. All these things were going on behind the scenes. God was preparing for a judgment. And it's just the way it was then, it's the way it's going to be right before he comes. And nobody's going to know, except people that are supposed to know. And you know who those people are? Who? Hopefully we're talking about us. Children of the light. We're not in the darkness that day should overtake us like a thief. And it's not supposed to. Because we've got the Word of God. We got His Holy Spirit. But there's a possibility it could overtake us if we're not in the light. Right? Or if we've said, well, that's part of Scripture I don't really care about. I have other things I want to focus on. So I'm not going to listen to that because it'll happen. It's going to happen when it happens. And yet Jesus tells us that we need to be ready for that. And if you don't want to be ready for that, then you're not listening to Jesus. And that's okay. You're still going to go to heaven. I'll still go to heaven. But we need to really be aware of the things that are happening. Okay, so I'm going to jump back into Genesis. How's that little girl? And it says this, chapter 6 of Genesis. Here's what the earth was like back in the time of Noah. And we know, as Jesus tells us, it's going to be the very same way as it was in the days of Noah, so will it be at the time of the coming of the Son of Man. And this is what it says in verse 11. Verse 11. I don't want this just to be a lot of words to you. And if you have an attitude that you don't really need to hear something about the coming of Christ, please listen anyway. Verse 11 says this, the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. You know what we can expect is a world that is full of corruption and full of violence. That should inform them. What's that? Just the way it is today. We can see that we're there. And things are not the way they were a decade, 2 decades ago. Don't give me this stuff that, well, there's always been murders, and yeah, that's a very generalized statement. Not to the degree, the depth, the intensity that's going on today. This is not the way it was 20 years ago.
No.
Or even 10.
No.
There's something that has changed, and we are in that particular kind of situation. And the Lord tells us, you know, He writes these things for our admonition. He writes these things so we'd be warned, so that we'd be awake to things. Now, you have to determine, I have to determine, well, Lord, how do I get ready for that? What do I do about corruption? What do I do about violence that's in the world that might start impinging on my life? We've been sheltered here in America. But I don't know how long that's going to last. But here's two conditions. Here's two conditions, isn't there? I wanted to say things about what I think, but I'm not going to do that. You just get myself in trouble.
So, I guess I'll hold back on that. But the Lord wants us to be wise. If He's telling us that we want to
be ready for the things that are coming, right?
Should
I?
Yes.
Didn't know if I should wait here.
So there's this corruption and there's this violence in the world. Lord, how do I prepare for that? Well, how would you respond? How would you respond? I'm not going to respond, but how would you respond to that? If you're thinking about, well, Lord, if you want me to be ready, and I know that you tell us that, just like it was in the days of Noah, and the world was full of corruption and violence, how can we be ready for that? What are you going to do? Just go, well, I don't know, and then not pray to God about it? What are you going to do? Anybody? Go ahead. Answer. What? You're going to start with prayer, aren't you? And what are you going to, and when you pray, what are you praying?
I'm going to ask Him to enlighten me to know what to pray.
Yeah. And isn't that a beginning step?
Yeah, wisdom. Praying for wisdom, I think, is so important.
It is.
We need to know God's voice when He's speaking to us today.
Yes.
Yeah,
I'm saying this because I think that lots of times we pass over having the Lord speak something very specific to us because we already have our answers. We already have an answer for God by saying, well, God's going to take care of me.
How?
How is He going to do that? How are you going to be ready? John, did you have your hand?
I would say if the world is becoming corrupt and violent, then we should work on becoming holy.
As a countermeasure, we have to consider, don't we? If the world is going down the slide of darkness, one thing that I hope that we're all realizing is, I'm going to go down that slide if I don't make a real concerted effort to be lifted up into the light. If I don't say to God, God, I see this place in me where I'm missing the mark, I'm sinning here, and I don't want that to be a cause of stumbling for me. I want you to help me through your Spirit to be a real light in the world. And believe me, the things of our own fleshy nature and all of the influence that's in the world today, all that corruption that's in the world pulls on us, doesn't it? And we can get, even if we're not open to a particular sin of some type, don't you, and how many times have I said this? I get out of the spirit, I'll put it this way, I get out of the spirit when I see some things on TV sometimes. Or if a particular person comes on the TV, I can get out of the spirit. Yeah? I have to learn how to be above these things, where peace is, right? Where there's no anxiety, where I can rest and I can trust. Because if I can't do it now, things are going to continue to shake and it's going to get worse. And if I can't run with the footmen, how am I going to run with the horses? If I can't handle little things right now, how am I going to handle the bigger things when it comes to it?
I'm reading about that. I need the microphone, but I'll talk about it. I'm reading the Benedict Option, if you've never heard it or seen it. It's sort of unfairly characterized as, this is a man, he studies the Benedictine monks back to the Middle Ages and says, hey, back in this really difficult time, these people set up little communities of learning and solitude where people can go.
Yeah.
And then he's saying, as we're going into this very difficult time, how do we prepare for that? What do we do?
Yeah.
And it's sort of incorrectly characterized as you set up your little communities and live by yourself. So when someone says the Benedictine option or Benedict option, that means the Christians build their own little towns, little villages, so that they can, you know, build little areas of light, as opposed to trying to be the light in the community. Which isn't necessarily fair if you read the whole book, because he doesn't say you should live in your own little town. But one of the things he does spend a lot of time on is the value of the church, the value of surrounding yourself by good people to keep you pure during this time into corruption.
Yeah.
He's saying, you know, if you surround yourself with the corruption in the world on a daily basis, there's no way to escape it. How are you ever going to get your head above water if you're surrounded in this corruption all the time? You need to be surrounded by holy people. And those people, and this is what happens to the monks, is those people come to them. Even nowadays, these monasteries are flooded with people that come to them to say, you know, how do you stay Christian? How do you guys live this? How do you stay happy this way? How do you find Christ, whatever?
Right.
But it's a really neat book.
Yeah. It's cool. There's not, I'm going to say this very clearly. There's not one right answer to this, to how the Lord is going to speak to you. He might speak to you in one regard, and he might speak to me in a different way, but because of whatever the Lord has done or has prepared for you in terms of a particular kind of ministry, he might lead you one way, and he might lead me in a different way. And neither way is wrong. Do you understand this? You need to seek God at the time of the end, especially at this time, you know, like what John was saying, where things are all up in turmoil and everything that can be shaken is being shaken. You need to be very, not as much as you want to take care of your what your work is and your family and all the other responsibilities you have in this life, it is absolutely just as important that you are hearing from God so that you are making wise decisions about life. And if what the Lord shows you is different than what the Lord shows somebody else, we can't say, you're wrong, I'm right. It goes both ways, right? We can't say that. If I have to believe that when the Lord is speaking something to you and you feel it's really the Lord, then the Lord speaking to you. And you follow the Lord, right? So that's very, very important. Okay? And I feel a certain way about certain things. I feel real strongly about certain things, about how the Lord is leading me. And I'm going to go in that direction. And I'm not going to tell you to follow me in some direction. I'm going to listen to God. And if He speaks the same thing to you, then we'll probably have something together where we'll be able to identify and do things. But if not, you have to listen to God. Isn't that the main thing? Listen to God. All I'm doing in this particular message today is to point out to you that there are certain things that are characteristics of what the end of the age is like. And you and I can't just casually toss it off, well, the Lord will take care of me. I believe that. Do you believe the Lord will take care of me? I believe the Lord is going to take care of me. But if I'm not listening to Him, if I'm going my own way, how am I hearing God? And is it going to come when the anvil's coming down that I go, oh no, oh, what's the Lord's skill? What am I supposed to do now? That's not the time to be asking God. This whole thing that I've talked about as far as being prepared and be ready, all deals with knowing what God has prepared. You know, he sends a watchman out there, and when he speaks to a watchman to say that, hey, speak a warning to the people. If they listen, that's good. If they don't, then, they're going their way and you're going to go your way. I'm not going to judge anybody. But it's important that things be said. And what I can say for every single person in here is God wants to speak to you about these very important life issues here at the end of the age. So please be listening. Don't just toss it off and use a scripture, God's going to take care of me, and not allow God or you to even seek to know more specifically and fully what is God doing and what does He want you to do particularly about that. Yeah.
We also have to expect what He's telling us, because I think that's one of our main problems. We don't like, well, it's not all the way we want it, so we don't want to expect it.
You're right. That's right. Exactly. So that's important. Steve?
Going along with what John said, I've been reading this book. I'm a Roy Lamont fan. William Johnston. But the last one I'm working on is called Last of the Breed. I don't know if anyone's read it. It's about a guy who, an American, was shot down in a plane in Siberia. And he's going across Siberia, and on the way through there, he meets people like John was saying.
Yeah.
The two, like little communities.
Yeah.
That protect each other. But you can also isolate yourself.
Yep.
In your own little groups, and you don't spread that light. And I give an example, and I'm like, this isn't to pat us on the back, but these are things that God's doing in our lives. The other day, I got a call from a long lost cousin who's been. Like, he does power plant stuff, like Chris Hansen and those guys do.
Yeah.
And he's been to Chile and California and the Middle West and Midwest. And he called me just out of the blue. He's a young man in his 20s. And he's going through a divorce. And he wanted someone to shed some light on life and encourage him.
Yeah.
And so we were on the phone for an hour. I haven't talked to him that long since I've known him. He's my cousin. Anyway, so he just wanted some words of wisdom, I guess.
All right.
And then Saturday morning, early, I'm talking early, like 6:15, there's a knock on the door. And Linda and I are going, like, I mean, usually we're up at that time, but Saturday, we're like, we're going to sleep till 7 this morning. There's a knock on the door, and we just kind of waited, and I thought, well, maybe it's my nephew, the cows are out or something, but there was no vehicle there. The guy kept knocking. So finally, I get up and I went down, and it was a guy who had been off the wagon, and he, or on the wagon, and he fell off. And he was pretty drunk, and he wanted to talk to somebody. And he came to talk to us. So we ministered to him in the kitchen for an hour on Saturday morning. So you also have to be a light so that people can, I mean, even people in the world, I mean, if you're hiding in your own little place, they can't see you. They're not going to know where to go to get encouragement. Does that make sense? I mean,
You have to hear. This is rhema. You have to have a rhema. You have to have a right now. Every day that you wake up, you're praying to Christ, and you're getting that direction that you need. You know, and people that take seriously the whole thing about a prudent man sees evil coming, and so he hides himself. Well, that isn't just, that's all there is to it, go out and just be out there and there's no kind of other interaction. You know, you have to be listening to God and doing what God tells you to do, because there are those scriptures that say things like that, and that's why you can't sit there and judge somebody that might be in a community if they're called to be in some kind of thing like that. Do you understand what I'm saying? You understand? Because if you say, well, if you're just in the world or you're just in community, no, there's a whole, it's different than any of what our little preconceptions of terms mean. We're talking about living the life that Christ has given us to live. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, just as an example in our own lives, we had a Christian community up in Alaska. I mean, it was remote. You couldn't get there except by boat in the summer. And yet we had students coming from British Columbia,
yep,
Georgia, all over the United States,
yep,
to our little community to go to school there.
Yep.
So even though we
And get taught of the Lord.
And be taught of the Lord. They,
yep,
they had heard about the school and the parents wanted their kids there because they were getting a really good Christian education. Plus, they were learning a lot of practical things being on a farm out in Alaska.
Yeah.
But,
yeah,
you know, you think you're hiding yourself away. Well, you really can't be saved.
There's an aspect of being out and away, but yet God will arrange the circumstances as He so pleases. And this becomes it's not we against them. It's not the people that think one way against the people that think a different way. You know, God's going to speak to your heart and the way you need to be and how you need to proceed in this life. And this message is just to encourage us to be people that are seeking. Yeah?
Yes.
That you're not just hearing the message and you're not even going to do anything with this for the rest of the week. But know that you're going to. You're going to pray. You're going to, like Lane said, you're going to start with prayer. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I was just saying, as far as me, as little as I know, I haven't been doing this very long, but I have a neighbor that comes and talks to me and asks questions all the time about, you know, I do the best I can.
You're right.
As much as you, all you. But he comes all the time and wants
That's
to
great.
Talk.
Isn't that good?
Well, I try to
and you're that one of your, the purposes of where you are is for that person.
Yeah.
You know, and that's important.
Yeah.
That is. There's God's going to lead us in numbers of different ways. And I don't want us to judge anybody that isn't going the same way we're going.
Right.
You as an individual, me as an individual. Yeah.
I think what Lisa said is an important thing. In the same time, people are going to be searching and they're going to hear and they're going to want to hear the hope of Jesus.
Yes.
And we have to be ready.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we can do that. And like our experience was, you could do that in a farm, in a remote farm out in Alaska, if that's where God's called you and God's going to send people. then that's where it's going to be. And if it's not going to be that way, and he wants you in a town, it all depends on the calling and how he's leading you. Do you want to say something more? Anybody else? Yeah, go ahead.
It's funny, because Lisa, the other thing he's doing with that relationship is he's growing you.
Yes.
At the same time, you think God's using you for this man, but he's using him for you, too. So, but the other thing is, this whole circumstance thing and how God sets these timings up. Yesterday, I actually had some alone time, which I didn't know what to do with myself. I saw the chores around the house, the boys were in their races, Kate was at a friend. And I was like, what am I going to do? I'm like, I'm so tempted to be lazy and do nothing, but either way, I just had this window of opportunity, and I was just weighing my options, and I had prayed for this woman earlier in the day. I'd seen something on Facebook, and it touched my heart. It was something very similar to an experience I had had, but I don't know her very well, and I felt kind of like, I don't want to just write on her post. You know, it's almost like I'm creeping on her stuff. So I was like, I'm just going to pray for her, and, you know, because it was put on my heart. So then all of a sudden, I was like, I reached out to a friend to go walking. Nothing came about. So I'm like, I'm just going to go to Walmart, because isn't that what we all do when we have nothing else to do? I just said, I'll get my groceries and just then, you know, take my time. Yeah. That's a joy when you're a mother, too. So lo and behold, and I'm going through Walmart, and there's just chaos. Like, it's very quiet. There's not a lot of people. But the few things that I was hearing, it was just anger and chaos, and like, you know, I'm like, okay, just saying quick little prayers. All of a sudden, as I'm leaving, there's the woman that I prayed for that morning, and God gave me the opportunity. I mean, she was leaving the eye center, closing it up, and I was like, I need to talk to you. But it wasn't until that moment, you know, and then the whole time I'm like, God, you are guiding my steps. You and I didn't think you were guiding my steps. And how amazing, you know, just that moment where I didn't feel like I was being sensitive to him, but he was just guiding me. Yeah. And it's just amazing that...
And this is a really important point, I think. You know, sometimes we think... Did you have your hand up, Jack?
No.
Oh,
sorry.
Oh, I thought... I wanted to make sure you had... If you had something to say. You know, we think we're going to... Oh, now God is guiding me now to go to Walmart where I will meet this woman. No, that isn't how it goes most of the time. You know? You give your heart to God, and you want to be a blessing to other people. This woman's person has touched your heart, and so you pray, and then you think you're going to Walmart for a different reason, but God has it all arranged, and then here you are, and boom, the contact is made. You know, so if we just know, Lord, I just want to be at your disposal, however that needs to be done. I do have to go to Walmart today. God, we don't know what's going to happen, do we? We don't know.
The other thing that's hilarious is, so you'll be talking, or all, I was talking to her, and all of a sudden I was given, you know, just something came out that I said, and I was like, oh, dang it, that was for me too. You know, it was like one of those things where I said it, and I just felt it.
Yeah. God does that, doesn't he? God does that. I guess I'll do this piece. I'm going to cut off some things that I thought maybe I would get to. But, you know, the scripture in the book of Revelation talks about the different churches, and we know that the messages were for those particular churches at that particular time. But most people that have read Revelation and studied it and sought the Lord on it also say that these are characteristic churches that have meanings for particular time periods and can be something that we at this period of time can learn from any one of those churches what the Lord says to them. Laodicea was the last of the churches, so that seems to be symbolic of the church at the end of the age. And he says this, and this is one thing that we want to be really careful of, and that's why I like that we sang the song, Send the Fire.
Yeah.
Because more than anything, at the end of the age, the way things are in this life, there's a lot of stuff to refocus your attention from the Lord, to take away the fire, that burning fire that you and I have, to want to please Him and to do His will. And he says this to the Laodicean church, the church that is symbolic of the end times, the way the church is, and we can sure see this in terms of America at least. Revelation 3, and I'm going to start in, I'm going to start in 13. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. Okay? All right. You have an ear. You have a spiritual ear to hear. Not to put yourself above it and say, I don't really need to hear this because I'm okay. But that maybe God could speak something more deeply. And here it says this in verse 14. To the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things say the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you're neither cold nor hot. I wish you were cold or hot. So, who's he talking to? The world?
The church.
No, he's talking to a church. He's talking to a church, right? So, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I'm rich, I'm a priest of goods, I have need of nothing, and don't you know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, and blind and naked? We have lots of things. We have lots of material things in this life here in America, don't we? We have lots of expectations. We have things that are guaranteed us. There's all of this ease that's at our disposal. I counsel you to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that you may be rich, and white clothing, that you may be clothed, and that the shame of your nakedness doesn't appear, and that and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. Is Jesus doing that, or are we doing that? We're supposed to. We're supposed to buy the gold that's tried in the fire. We're to put on the white clothing. We're to anoint our eyes with eye salve so that we can see. That's our part in it. He gives us the power. He's going to supply all those things. But we have to realize, hey, I'm miserable, poor, and blind, and naked without you, God. And it isn't just a one-time casual thing. This is fervor. This is not lukewarmness. This is a waking up every day and saying, God, I need you more and more in my life. Especially when I see all this stuff going on around. I want to have wisdom. I want to have strength and courage. I don't want fear to take me over. I don't want to react because of fear. I want to have your mind and your wisdom for the things of this age. Because we're coming down to the end. And everything that can be shaken is going to be shaken. And here we are. Well, everything's going to be fine. Well, yeah, in the end, that's really true. But what's happening in between time, if we don't put the eye salve on, if we're not saying, you know, I don't know if I'm really seeing these things right, or I just have my own ideas, and I say this to myself, you know, here, I have a particular mindset. And I have to be careful that I don't just click into that mindset and don't listen to Jesus day after day. Right? So do you. You can't have a particular. We need to hear the. We have to know the mind of Christ, and that's a serious thing. And I think we go. I think we go past that a lot. Too much.
Side note in my Bible.
Here we go.
Here we go. Why would God rather somebody be cold than lukewarm? It seems that lukewarm is better than nothing. I believe it is because lukewarm people are easily deceived into thinking they are doing what they should be doing when in fact they are not. Yeah. They are offering sacrifices, not wholehearted obedience. For example, they might go to church as an obligation, but in reality, they do not want to be there at all. However, when a person is totally cold toward God, at least they know it and can be dealt with more easily than somebody who is deceived. I once taught a message titled, Get In, Get Out, or Get Run Over. My theory was that God is moving, and we can either get on board and move with Him, or remain rebellious and obstinate and yet left behind. As far as I'm concerned, life is not worth living at all if Jesus Christ is not the center of it.
Yeah.
Sadly, many people waste most of their lives before they realize that's true. Some never do. God never does anything halfway. We shouldn't either.
Yeah.
Whatever your task may be, work at it heartily, with all your heart, as something for the Lord. The first principle of commandment of God is that we love Him with our whole heart, soul, and mind. If we do that, He will be honored, and we will be very fulfilled and blessed. Never lag in zeal and earnest endeavor. Be aglow and burn with the Spirit, serving the Lord.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. 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 Somebody else have a hand up? No. Yes.
Just when you were talking earlier, you were talking about
Rhema.
That's
yeah.
A moment when you hear from Him right then.
Yeah. What God is speaking for you to do in that moment. Yeah.
And I'm just, one of my girlfriends said to me many years ago that just to remember that Satan can also implant thoughts in your head. He can't control you if you're, if you're, you know, walking with the Lord or trying to walk with the Lord.
Right.
But just the fact that He can also implant things in your head. So we can be sitting there, not in our wisdom, and say, oh, I'm getting this thought, and just assume that it's from the Holy Spirit, just assume that it's from the Lord, and have it not be.
That's right.
So I think...
That's very true. That's very, very true. And we're talking about God's word to us, not just any thought.
And just to know that Satan is always there when we're seeking the Lord, that's when I believe He's there the most, trying to get us off our path.
Yes.
And that when we're trying to say, okay, is this from the Lord or is it not?
Yes.
Just to wait on Him.
Yes.
And ask Him, you know, be in a relationship with Him at that time, make it clear, and also be seeking His word. If something that you're doing, He's saying, okay, go do this, or, you know, is that actually biblical? Is what you're thinking that you're hearing from the Lord, is it actually, you know, something
doesn't
that He warns
up.
You against in the Bible,
that's right.
or something like that? Because I just think whether you're an early believer or somebody who's believed for years, you can still be led astray.
Sure.
You know?
You sure can. And that's very important that we take this seriously. You know, because the flesh does get in the way a lot. And if not every thought is coming from Jesus, and you and I have to sort that out. We've got to separate the precious from the vile, you know. We have to be doing that, you know. Okay. I'll just end with this. We know that the four horsemen of the apocalypse, the things that are going to happen that's going to start all these kinds of things that bring about the end of the age. You have the Antichrist that's going to come on the scene. You're going to have war that's beyond what the world has ever seen. Worse than World War II. There's going to, that's the second horseman, the war. The third horseman is dealing with, and I'm not saying this to frighten anybody, I'm just saying, you know ahead of time, God, what do I do to get ready? Is there nothing for me to do to be ready for these things? No, there's things that you can do for every one of those four horsemen of the apocalypse. And that's for you to seek, for you to find out. You're not dangling out there. If God says be ready, then He has a way for you to be ready. Do you believe that?
Yes.
You know, as far as what do we do? The Antichrist comes on the scene. Is there persecution of Christians? What's going on? Or shouldn't we even be thinking about those things? Should we only be thinking about right now? Or does God say things ahead of time so that we can be ready and have it in our minds, have already prayed, have gotten direction, and are ready for the things that are coming upon the earth? Because he does tell us to do that. So when you look at these things, and the scripture says that this is what we're supposed to do, we can't say, well, I'm not doing that. We gotta be careful about how we look at these things here at the end of the age. Amen. So then after that talks about the scales, and it's going to cost all kinds of money for a little loaf of bread. So it looks like there's going to be famine and economic collapse. All of these things are coming on the world. And you can say in your mind, oh, that's not going to be for a long time yet. You're so sure about that. Are you really? Or do you just not want to deal with it? You don't want to hear from God ahead of time? Or is that just, not when you're too serious? Don't get all caught up. Just relax in Jesus. I am relaxed in Jesus because I'm hearing what he's telling me to do, and I'm trying to be ready for those things, right? So I'm not stirred up and nervous and afraid. No, I'm hearing and I'm praying and I'm getting the direction that I need. You guys, same thing. That's what you need. And you might be taking some path, and I might be taking a different path. It's all right. But just make sure that you are hearing from God, that you're seeking God, so that you are ready for the things that are coming on the earth. Because it's going to look, everything's going just fine, and then, what's going to happen is, kabam, things are going to start happening, and you go, oh my gosh, I'm not ready for this. And God's been speaking for years to be ready for things. And if you and I aren't ready, well, that's not God's fault, it'll be our fault.
Yeah. Well, just like Noah, it said that he was a righteous man and he walked with God daily.
Yes.
And he listened to God.
He listened.
He was obedient. And because of what he did, his family was saved.
Yes. Yeah.
And then...
Yeah, God didn't build the ark for Noah.
No.
God asked Noah to build the ark. Right? Yeah.
And I'm sure during that time, he wanted other people to be on the ark.
Yeah.
But people didn't listen, so.
Yeah.
We all have to make that decision.
Yeah, we have to make the right decision. Amen. So, Lord, I just pray that we would be encouraged. Not have our minds spinning around, trying to come up with answers to what was just talked about. But Lord, that we would rest in you, that we would seek you, that we would not compare or feel like there's disagreement if things go in different directions for any of us here. Lord, we desire to seek you and seek your kingdom in our lives. We desire you to be king. We don't want to be king of our own selves. We want you to be king in our life. We want to hear what you have to say, and we want to be obedient. Make us prudent and understanding what the will of the Lord is. And we thank you, Lord, today. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth